Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, I'm late coming in this morning. First out there, getting everything set up, because a lot of you might know that I am setting up my Equinox sundial table. That's what I call it, a table. And came back in to get started, and my desk was full of ants. Oh my goodness, I'm still cleaning up ants. Oh, and there are these. I don't know if you guys ever heard of them, but they're called raspberry ants. They're just all over the place. So anyway, hoping everyone is doing fine out there. And shalom, Hannah, a.k.a. Robbie. Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, shalom.
Yeah.
I was worried.
Oh, you know, all the excitement. I had to get the ants all off the desk. They were everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Then I have started rubbing peppermint oil, hopefully, there to keep them away long enough for us to get the show done. Woo! Yeah.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
You can't hear me?
The sound is not good. I can't figure out what it is.
Okay, hold on. Let me play a quick song while I switch out. Let me find a short song. At least 2 minutes. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play a short song while I swap out.
Hear, O Yashra'am, can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. Hear, O Yashra'am, can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. And you shall love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. You shall love, 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 love.
But the sound is breaking, and maybe it's
Well, anyway, the song I just played was "Hadar by Yah," and he has beautiful music, and "You Shall Love" is the name of it. Wow, I'm under this call and all that. I have on a different, you know, got a different microphone and everything, and I know that on last night, Hey Did You Know Rodeo program, Shannon and was having problems too. But
it's kind of muffled, and mostly muffled. There's a little bit of static, but I'm getting muffled sound.
Now, I can hear the static, too. Let's see. I don't know what... I wonder if that's in the station, though, because this, now I have on my husband's headset. I don't know. I don't know what could be causing that. Can you hear me enough to get through this today?
Because I'm not able to understand it. I can hear you, but I'm not... unable to understand everything you're saying.
Okay. Let's see. I don't have another mic, so. Let's see. Let me try something. What about now? Is it any different?
I think that's a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, then. Let's give it a shot. Man, oh, man, I tell you, technology is good sometimes,
yeah.
And sometimes it's not worth the trouble. anyway, we're going to see if we can get through the show today with all my technical difficulties, you know, and my mic. I just got this mic not too long ago, so I don't know why it should be giving me any trouble. I guess I think it's about the bed volume. I can do it, you know, if they can replace it. But first, I got to see if I can find it in speed. Well, they should have it on in-store. They should have it.
Okay, I'm going to try and see if I can get better sound with my headset. I can hear better.
Okay, hang on, people. We are still trying to work out these difficulties. Okay, we have a guest in the room. Guest 260. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, please type a yes or no. If you're sitting at, well, if you might be on the phone, but then if you're sitting at a computer, could you let us know if you can hear us and if everything is clear? I'm waiting to see if they would respond, but I get no response. Okay, well, thank you anyway. Okay, why you doing that? Another song. Here's a little short one.
Better now, but I'm on my headset. The sound is more, it's still muffled. That's the best way I can describe it.
Wow. Like I said, this mic I have isn't that old. I just got this not too long ago, so I'm going to have to see if I can take it back and see what's wrong with it.
Yeah, I get, like I said, I'm hearing you better now on my headset, but it's still
kind of muffled, huh?
It's still muffled, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me enough for us to go get through this, or what do you think?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, all right then. Well, again, Shalom, everyone. Hoping everyone out there can hear me pretty good. And we're here to talk about our new year coming in and the set apart appointed time coming in. And, we just want to have a nice discussion. And, well, it might not end up always being nice, but looking forward to having this discussion about the appointed times and pay stops and all that kind of stuff. So, Robbie, what do you think about the new year coming in?
I'm excited, and I'm more excited this year than I've ever been because I have so much more new information, not only about who we are, but also about the observance of this memorial time. And I'm really excited. I don't have all the pieces put in place yet, but I'm very, very excited. And we're doing something new this year in our home group. So This is just a really exciting time of year. I had shared with someone, I said, Phil, this feeling is, the only way I could explain it to this person because they were not in Torah, not in truth, but I likened it to some of the anticipation I used to have for some of those pagan holidays. But this is so much more authentic because now I know that I am pleasing my Heavenly Father by observing these times. So it is an exciting time.
And you know what? There are a lot of people doing something new this year and exciting. And, you know, I have to say a lot of people have, you know, came out of tradition and started following tradition, but now it's like the Father is opening up people's eyes, and now we're seeing something, well, it's not new, but it's new to us. And so and even as yesterday, somebody's eyes was open about something, it's like, whoa, and this person, you know, you never would expect for them to, you know, see what they saw. I'm not going to go into any details because that's their testimony to tell. But it was, you know, like, whoa. So the Father is really doing something. And everybody is excited. Everybody is excited. So, I decided to do a thing. I decided to track the equinox this year. For the first time, you know, people always tell you, well, the equinox is on this day or that day. And so I said, well, I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to track it myself to see where it is. And so I started yesterday, and I was out there setting up this morning for it before I ran back in here, you know, so we could do the show. And got it all set up. So now I just got to let the sun do its thing so I can go out there, you know, and mark, you know, put the marks and the time and all that on my little sundial table thing is what I'm calling it. That's a scientific word, people. Thing. I'm excited. I'm really excited, you know. And then we got new people coming in that will be celebrating Passover for the first time this year. And that's exciting, you know, to see the Father opening up eyes with that and the Ruach imparting knowledge. And, I'm excited. Like you said, I'm excited, too. I am really excited.
Right. Cheryl, I have a question for you.
Okay.
This is for my enlightenment, and I hope it will help others, too. Can you explain or talk a little bit about how you have celebrated, how you've observed Pesach in the past, and what, if anything, you're doing differently this year?
Well, the first time I was ever at a Pesach Seder, because we actually don't call them Seders anymore. I know Seder only means
order.
The very first time, you know, they had that Seder plate with all this stuff on it, you know, like an egg. And I never understood what any of that stuff meant, you know. And they did this Seder thing and talked about everything that didn't have anything to do with Passover. They talked about this is because the temple was destroyed, and this is because of this, and this is because of that. Well, the last few Pesachs I've been, you know, have been to, we don't do none of that. We just follow what was in Exodus, you know. How we do, but they do a reading because, you know, it says tell the story. But we do a reading. And then you talk about the Bible verses and then how they talk about you see it being the Passover lamb we don't do all that potato plate thing, but they do a reading and let me see if I can remember how we did it last year. How do we do it? We did have the salt water and the part, the bitter herbs. That's what it was. We had
the bitter herbs, right.
Yeah, we had the bitter herbs. No, we didn't do the salt water. We just had the bitter herbs. And those that ate meat, they did eat lamb. What else? I mean, it was very simple. It wasn't that long. You know, it was. And then we just ate a meal. That we did the thing like, you know, we did like they as close as we could to the Exodus model. And then we had a meal and, you know. But they got rid of, we didn't do that Seder plate thing. For those
okay.
of you who know about, you know, for those of you who know about Passover, you know, some people use that. We don't do that anymore.
Okay. It's interesting because that's where we are in this group too. Well, actually, over the last few years, and we have been doing this as a group for, I don't know, maybe 5 years. 4 years, 5 years, I think. Anyway, we, as you said, we came out of one tradition, and then we started doing the other tradition, and we were using the Haggadah and the Seder traditions of the fellowship, the larger fellowship that we had come out of. And each year, as we've gone through and studied on Pesach, we have removed each year. I mean, I've gone back and looked at what we've done each year, and each year we've removed some of those traditions. So this year, with all this new information that we have, I looked at this thing, and we were about to sit down and try to figure out what we were going to do, and I went, we need to just trash this. Not that there wasn't some good stuff in there. I say, but we need our Passover observance to reflect what Scripture says and who we are as a people. And that's where we are this year. So this will be the very first time this year that we're doing it. Sounds like what you're doing, and I've talked to a couple of other people, and it sounds like what they're doing too, so I'm excited because I see that Yah is bringing us all along in our own time, but he's bringing us all back to the same place where he wants us to be. So that is really part of the excitement that I'm feeling about this now.
Yeah. Oh, I can remember that we did do the bread and wine, you know, that we still said, you know, and we did foot washing. That's what
mm-hmm.
we did foot washing. Yeah.
Yeah, we're adding that this year too.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was talking to one of the sisters, and she said, I never understood why we had to do all those 12 cups of wine. She said, why can't we just get one glass of wine and just drink on it? So what we did as a group, there were, I guess, four or five of us. We started researching all of the things that are in that set Seder, and we realized where they came from.
And that
validated for us that, okay, we really need to step away from this.
Yeah, but I do know there's there are at least two cups of wine, because when you read it,
that's what I came up with, two cups of wine.
And he said that with the cup after supper, you know he drank a cup, then you know he said
right.
the cup after supper. We know there are two. And
two.
That's all that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we moved all that tradition too and have gone back as close as possible as we could to, you know,
two.
How we understand it to be, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and like I say, it's just, I like to say, I'm excited. And I don't get excited over a lot of things, but I am really excited about this year.
Yeah, and you know something, there is some excitement about this year, but then there's some trepidation. I guess that would be the word.
Yeah.
Because, the blood moons and what they represent. And you know what's not funny, that everything with everybody just about lines up almost the same. Equinox, moon, everything. And then right after, because you got people doing Pesach on the summer, first, second, and third, and then on the fourth, you have the blood moon.
Yeah, it's all falling together. We're observing on the first, and well, you saw the teaching that we were using, but it for some reason that year, this year, that resonated with me when I saw that teaching because fall on Wednesday. That's the one of Brother Jediah did on the Enoch calendar.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. No, because you know what? You know, see, and that's why, not knocking up what nobody else is doing, we're doing it on the third, you know, because, like, that's why I'm out there doing, looking for the equinox, because spring does not start until the equinox. You know, that.
Right.
And it's been like that thousands of years, and I purposely started early so I could see, you know, so I could see for myself. Yeah, so, and like I said, you know, hey, I'm not knocking nobody. Everybody has to do, follow their heart and do what's in their heart.
Everybody has to do, because Yah has us all in different places for different reasons. And I don't ever put down what somebody else is doing because I don't know how they are being dealt with. But I was excited this year because we decided to do that because it happens to fall on Wednesday, which is the day that Messiah was crucified. So that carried something for me. We did not do all the measurements and all. But anyway, like I said, I'm excited. And I'm glad you mentioned the thing about the trepidation because I was reading some scripture last night, and I kept thinking about the blood moon. And, you know, we don't know exactly what that sign means at this point. But I think we all know that there is meaning to that, and we don't know what it's going to entail. So
I know that blood moon is linked to Israel as a people. This popped up in my mind, okay? Now, we can't say it's about those people who are occupying the land because they have always been at war with somebody. But I can say this year, how many young black Israelite men were shot down in the streets and all kind of stuff? You know, I don't even think nobody else probably put that together. I just thought about that just now. The blood representation is happening to Israel. Look at everything that happened this year. You know, with Michael Brown and a whole lot of stuff just went on this year with our people.
Right. And I don't think it's, you know, people say this is just coincidental. There are no coincidences in Yah's world. And I think it goes along. I was also this week reading in the book of Ezekiel. And I read several passages in there. I was reading Ezekiel 37 where it talked about the dry bones. And I went, you know, I've read that passage, I don't know, 100 times in my lifetime. But when I read it now and I see what's happening, how our people are being awakened, but at the same time, as you said, we are under such persecution. It just really, really, really brings that scripture to life for me.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, like you said, and people don't realize black people always say, why stuff always happens to us? How can we do it? And they don't realize we're under a curse. That's why our group about those young men out there preaching and teaching. Now, you know, I don't agree with everything they say. You know, you and I both know.
Right.
We talked about that. But there was something in there that really touched me. And especially they were talking to the stepmother of Mike Brown, Michael Brown.
Uh-huh.
And they were relating to her everything, why that happened to him and why things happen to us, and how that's not something that, you know, most people think is the white man keeping you down. No, that's not it either.
That's not it.
He said our enemies would do that to us. And we got to understand when Abba says something, he means it. So as we start repenting and turning back to his word, understanding who we are, once we understand who we are, we can walk proudly in the word, not being prideful, but being humble. Because just like
exactly.
You said, I broke those branches off to insert other people. Hey, I can, you know, hey, tear down those branches and break you down again. So, yeah. But hopefully this year, because there are a lot of new people celebrating this year, and I'm really excited about that. And hopefully before we even get there, there'll be more. So that's my prayer. That is my prayer.
Yes. And I was sharing in our group the other day that, you know, we teach that, you know, the word is supposed to not just be for head knowledge, it's supposed to change our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how all of this new knowledge has changed my thinking about a lot of things. But specifically, I was sharing, I think I've always been kind of on the Milton side because, you know, I was a child of the 60s and, you know, I was in on the Black Power movement and all that good stuff. I was in L.A. doing those years. And I've always had a love for our people. But I had to admit to myself just recently that I had some preconceived notions about a lot of our people and some of the activities that they were involved in. And I would find myself looking down and saying, oh, you know, you need to do better. You need to pick it. You know, and I realized I was taking on the attitude of the dominant culture. But I didn't know that until I came into this knowledge that had really affected me. So now I'm noticing I'm having so much more empathy for my brothers and sisters and understanding why they are like they are. Because we're all under those curses. And because we are and don't know, I mean, the scripture says we wouldn't know who we were. We wouldn't know our names. So how can you be different if you don't have any identity for yourself?
Yeah.
I have so much more empathy, and I praise y'all that he's given me that knowledge about myself so I can be more effective now as I relate to other people.
So right here, you guys, we're going to take a break, and it's going to be kind of a long break because I got to go get me a cup of coffee. Because I didn't get a chance to do it. But anyway, we're going to take a break. And if I have to break in once everything is, I get, you know, myself situated here, then we'll do that. So we'll be back after the break.
Hear, O Yashra'am. Can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. Hear, O Yashra'am. Can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. what to do. That might be well with you. Girl, the Lord said Yahuwah has commanded you. And you shall love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. You shall love, 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 love. As a sign on your hand and between your eyes, speak these words when you lie down and when you arise. Bind these words as a sign on your hand and between your eyes, speak these words when you lie down and when you arise. And you shall love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your being. Love Yahuwah.
I know I must stand for a new heaven. Be that song, Leave that song, be that song, see that song, sing that song. Leave that song, leave that song, see that song, sing that song. Leave that song, be that song, see that song, sing that song.
Our interpretation and our understanding of what
the Most High is giving us. Well, we disagreed, but we were not disagreeable. Let's put it that way. There were a couple of heated things that happened, but for the most part, we did not break relationship. But the thing that I want to stress is because we were all striving to follow Yahuwah's word, within this last 6 months or so, because all of us are being shown some things that we did not know before, He has brought us all back together, and we're now all on one accord. Now, we still have personal stuff going, you know, differences in our beliefs, but for the most part, and I just praise Him every day for that, because we were trying to do something as a family group, but it wasn't working because we were allowing our belief systems to get in the way. But like I say, we continue to pray and continue to walk and try to follow what He wants us to do. And in due time, as He say, He brought us all back together. And that's all mended. And now we are trying to do the things that we originally started to do almost 2 years ago. So, you know, that's the important part. We always have to remember we're all studying. We're all getting all of this knowledge. And it's just sometimes I feel like I'm being bombarded with the amount of knowledge that the Most High is giving me. But we have to remember that no matter how much knowledge He gives us, that knowledge does us no good unless we are using it to become better people and to be better ambassadors and better disciples for Him. And, you know, because I can learn, I could, if I had all the knowledge, I can sit here and spout to you about, you know, this book and that book, and I understand how this fits with that. But if I haven't changed the way I live, and I don't change the way I relate to my brothers and sisters, then it's all for nothing.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like, might as well be honest. Sometimes I feel like that happens within. Not so much now that I know that I'm an Israelite, but when I was strictly Messianic, I felt like a lot of times what I was seeing was people clamoring to prove that they knew more than the other person knew, and I didn't see the change in the personnel. I didn't see the change in the life. I didn't see the fruit of what they were learning. And now I personally am experiencing that fruit in my own life, and I'm seeing it, and maybe because I've changed, I'm now seeing it in more people.
Yeah, and you know what you're saying, that I always say, you know, because, you know, the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. And
exactly.
As I learn, I reserve the right to change my mind.
Uh-huh.
I believe something right now, but as I continue to learn, I reserve the right to change my mind. You know, because like I said, I am not dogmatic. You know, there are some things you do have to be dogmatic about. But then you have those other areas where I don't know, so I'm not going to say,
right.
I deserve the right to change my mind. Because where I am now, I wasn't here last year.
Exactly. Now,
I didn't know last year. So, the same thing as I continue to learn. You used to say, next year, I might not, there are some things I believe now I might not believe. You know, so it's in learning. It's a learning process as you grow. Because, what, we've been in exile for, what, for 2,000 years? And we're just now getting, you know, the knowledge back of who we are. Even though a lot of us have been walking, like you were saying, walking in Torah, I'm going to even stop saying that.
Right.
Yeah. Now that I know that I am a Israelite, Hebrew Israelite, you know, my ancestors were the ones in the desert. They were the ones in that got kicked out of Jerusalem, you know. So with that, I'm going to continue to learn about my culture, put that way, you know. And as I learn, like I said, I know the Ruach will reveal to me truth, and I know he will take out truth. You know, I mean, take out falsehood, not truth. He will take out falsehood. Yeah, but by being teachable, because you never, when you stop being teachable, then, you know, I don't really have nothing to say to people like that. I don't even waste my time. Because if you're not.
You're no good for anything at that point.
Yeah, because I'm willing to listen. I'll listen, you know, and then I would make my decision after I listen. And if Ruach doesn't touch me, and if it's not something that resonates with my spirit, with my Ruach, then I just, you know, put it to the side. You know, not that I kick it out totally, not unless I know it's just straight out just heresy or straight out, you know, I'll table it, you know, like he said, I'll put it on the back burner of the stove. And he just said, you know, I might revisit it enough time.
Right.
So, yeah, and that's where I am with a couple of things that are sitting back there on the back burner. So, yeah. But, yeah, I am really looking forward to, I don't know, if there's something special about Pesach this year. There's something special about it. I can't put my finger on it, but I know it is. I know it is.
You know, I had an experience. I work with a lady who is, as my friends say, of the other hue. And we have a really good relationship. And she respects me for the life I live and what I do and what I don't do. But she has some difficulty sometimes with some of the things that I'm adamant about. For instance, recently I was saying, she's the office manager, and I said, well, I explained to her that I need it. Which days I needed off from work, because I work set days during the week. I work part-time. And I said that I needed Wednesday and Thursday, the first week of April, off. And those are the only days I work. And she said to me, well, why can't you just work those days and take off two other days? I said, I've already explained to you, these are my days. These are the holy days. I said, when I started working here, I explained to you that the holy days did not always fall on the same days, same calendar days. And she just, that concept seems to not sink in. And she told me, well, and then the other thing is that I don't work on Friday. Unless it is a dire emergency. I said, Friday is my preparation day. And I need that day to prepare for my Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I work 7 days a week. I said, well, you know, that's your choice. I said, but I follow the biblical feast. I follow the biblical Sabbath. And I have to do what my Heavenly Father has given me to do, and not what you think is right. And she just, I mean, she doesn't give me a hard time about it, but she just doesn't get it. I'm going to have to step off for a minute.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, but you know what, as Robbie was saying, a lot of people are like that. They don't understand the importance of the appointed time, you know, our Kadosh day, that they don't have a clue. And that's like when you try to explain to even Christian people that all the appointed times points to Mashiach. They, you know, it's like, you know, you can see it's like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, some of them kind of like, oh, okay. Like I explained it to, we explained it to a cousin of mine the other day, that the all the festivals are still alive and active today because they point to the Messiah, they point to Messiah, the Hamashiach. And there is nothing anybody can do to change that. You know, you can, you don't have to believe it, but that just because you choose not to believe it doesn't change the fact that it's true. So, and then you have people in the world who just don't have a clue, period. Who, like Robbie said, they, well, you know, I work here today and da 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 da, but, you know, if you're not serving the same power, you know, that I'm serving, you know, the same Most High, the creator of the universe. Because if you did, you would understand. And so, I don't know, people, and it gets me as they read, well, I can understand because I was there too. I have to, you know, admit to you, I was there too. Reading the same scriptures, but seeing something totally different. Until your eyes are open, you know. So, yeah. Are you back? No, she's not back yet. Anyway, we're gonna get ready to, you know, start planning for Pesach, and because it's just like a couple of weeks away, and we're looking forward to doing having great time with friends and family. I'm looking forward to making my unleavened bread. There are a few recipes. I want to do an unleavened cornbread. I want to do, of course, I always do an unleavened flatbread. That, you know, goes without saying. That's number one. But I want to do an unleavened cornbread this year. And, because I was watching a YouTube video and I noticed there was a group that, you know, that's what they did. They made unleavened cornbread. I said, ooh, I want to make you some of that because I love cornbread.
Do you have that? I'm back, Cheryl. Okay. Do you have that recipe? Can you forward that recipe? Because I'm experimenting with unleavened bread too.
Yeah. No, I don't have not the cornbread. The only thing I can think of, because a lot of people look at baking soda as a leaven. I don't look at baking soda as a leaven. But I look at yeast, you know, yeast, like regular bread. But they probably don't put, like, baking soda in their bread and anything that'll cause it to rise, which is understandable. So, but I'm going to get that recipe because when I get it, then I'll share it on here. You know, there are a lot of recipes. And the flatbread recipe, it all depends on if you like your bread crunchy like those cardboard crackers or if you like them soft. I like mine soft. So I make them like tortillas but not as flat. And with that, it's just flour, water, salt, and oil. And That's with that. And if you're going to make it crunchy, you know, you don't put the oil in it. So that way you have one that'll just break off. But I like crunchy off. There are different, I mean, people, sisters today have been come up with all kind of ingenious ideas. So I'm going to go and hunt down and also I'm going to go on my YouTube channel and ask sisters if, those who have different recipes, because we do have a Set Apart Living Facebook page that they can go to and, you know, put the recipes in there. But share your recipes, because like I said, there are new sisters coming in. It's their first year ever, you know, probably doing it on their own, because a lot of people start off spending their first Passover, their first Pesach with another family. And it's maybe the first time doing it on her own, and it's like, oh, I'm doing this by myself. and need some recipes. So what we can do now. That's what we can do now is find recipes for unleavened bread and meal preparation. What kind of meal are you going to be serving after the initial, you know, bitter herbs and lamb and all that kind of stuff? What are you going to be doing? What are you going to be cooking? What are you going to serve as your dinner portion? Yeah, so. Yeah, but there are a lot of cool recipes out there. We just got to track them down. I'm going to track them down. I'm going to go to YouTube today.
And
look at the recipes. Yeah. But the cornbread one, like I said, I don't think there's anything really in it. Because I know, because I don't eat eggs, so I use like chia seeds or flax seeds to make the glue. I call it glue. You put water in and let it sit. And it boils up. That's what I use. And I might use the almond milk, you know, soy milk. There are people who have problems with soy milk. I don't have a problem with it. I use it every now and then. And make the cornbread, you know. So, yeah. And they don't put,
well,
put baking powder in.
Okay, now you're saying you don't see that, you're saying baking soda, right?
Right.
Okay, but not baking powder.
Yeah, baking powder is baking soda with cream of tartar mixed in it.
Right, I know.
Uh-huh.
So you use baking.
Baking, yeah, because I brush my teeth with baking soda.
Okay,
you know.
The reason I'm asking, I've got things running through my head as you're saying that, because one of my children asked me if we could have hot water cornbread for my for our dinner, and I had said I think so, because I only use a little bit of baking powder in it, and the rest of it is just the corn.
Yeah.
Cornmeal.
Because when you go into when you read that, when it's talking about the leaven, it's talking about yeast. It's talking about, you know, like those starters we make.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about baking soda. Baking soda wasn't even around then. It's talking about yeast. Talking about because like, you know, that's why I was going to make a fresh dough starter, but I decided not to because I was going to have to throw it out. You know, and I didn't want to do that. So I didn't make it. It's actually talking about yeast, something that makes them wise.
Well, that's what I had thought, but you just verified some things for me, so.
Yeah, because you can put yeast, you can take baking soda, I mean, and take some flour water and sit there all day long, and it's not going to rise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not going to rise. So it's talking about yeast, specifically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that helps me out a lot. Because, actually, I one of the other things that I wanted to leave behind this year, because I used last year, is that cardboard you buy in the boxes? That's what I call it.
Yeah, I call it too, cardboard.
I really don't want that. So that helps me out a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that cardboard in there, that's what I call it too. But yeah, I started making mine a couple of years ago. And, you know, and what's better about making your own, you can give it your own taste. There's nothing wrong with having a good taste, you know. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, too. Just, you know, having a good time, experimenting. And any of you guys who are listening to this and here before Pesach, any sisters out there, even if you're a brother, and you know how to make a good unleavened bread besides the flatbread, another kind, like the cornbread we were talking about. Let us know. Drop us, you know, go to it's Set Apart Living Radio. Yeah, Set Apart Living. No, you can just go to the Set Apart Life Morning Show. You know, go to the Set Apart Life Morning Show and put the recipes in there. Because I forgot, you know, the Set Apart Living Radio is all of us, but the morning show is us. So we want the recipes in the Set Apart Life Morning Show Facebook page. So,
right.
And I'm going to do that on my YouTube too, is ask for different recipes. So I'll send them over there. We're still at recipes over there because we have new sisters that are starting off this year and want to learn how to do unleavened bread. And that way you don't get tired of eating the same thing. Because when I first started and we was eating those cardboard crackers, I mean, how do you taste those things? You know, people, you know, even people tried to fix them where their kids would even eat them. You know? And then I know with cornbread, you know, with some people coming from the South, you can eat that in the morning for breakfast with some milk over it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's different ways of doing things.
When my daughter was home, well, my kids, because I had both of them, I could make hot water cornbread and... you know, they would eat it all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so can I, because it's really good. That solves my problem with that. I may make some other kind, too, but I'm definitely going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hot water cornbread, regular cornbread. Then you have the flatbread. You know, just to have a variety.
Have a variety, because... And the scriptures is you're supposed to eat it for 7 days, and by the end of that seventh day, it gets a bit old.
Yeah.
And I know that was supposed to be a bread of affliction. I know it was not supposed to be something that we necessarily enjoyed, but I don't think we have to be. That's me. I don't like the cardboard in the box. Let's just put it that way.
And you know what? That's not what they had when they celebrated their Passover. This is something that those other people invented.
I know. They didn't eat that. So they didn't have that.
Yeah. Because if you look at all flatbreads today, they're not hard and crunchy like that. The majority of them are soft. You know, the Bedouins and all them, you know, it's just, they make the dough and they stick it in the hot oven. It's flat and it's soft and it tastes good. It's not that hard cardboard stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Good recipes. And yeah, like you said, it is a bread of affliction, but they didn't say what kind of bread of affliction.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, so anyway, I am looking forward to that and some recipes. I'm gonna go online and find some recipes and I'm gonna put everything I find. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on the Set Apart Life Morning Show, so everybody can go there and find different recipes and I'll even find some YouTube videos and put up. Because I'm quite sure we can find some YouTube videos of people making different types of unleavened bread. Find something with some simple meals. You know, I know a lot of people even fix, after the Passover meal itself, when they fix the dinner, a lot of people just fix chicken and spaghetti and... easy stuff, Yeah, I'm excited, looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, the more we talk, the more excited I get.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. And, you know, And we were talking about trepidation, but I also have, there's also a little sadness with mixed in with that excitement, because I wish more of our sisters and brothers could experience the same excitement by knowing who they are and following after what the Father wants us to do and who He who He has called for us to be. And you know, I hear people talking about they're getting ready for Easter, and
long.
I just don't know.
I guess it's so ingrained in them that they just can't, you know, get it out of their system. You know, but they go, yeah, but.
Yeah. Oh, I have to share this with you, and you know, the teaching, the video teaching, White It Out, that we all shared. I put it on my family's private page because I always post things on my personal YouTube Facebook page, and sometimes I'll get maybe a like, but nobody ever really says anything. And I went, okay, so maybe they're not seeing all this stuff. So I put the link onto my family's private page. We've got approximately 70 people on that page. I have not had one single comment. And my family are the Christians from the Christians. Do you understand me? They are pharisaical Christians, if there is such a word. And I've only had, last time I checked, it had only been seen, actually clicked on by 5 people, and I have not heard a single comment. And that's disheartening because, I posted, I said, I'm posting this because I love you guys dearly, and I want you to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's part of
one. There's another one about, not the long one, but the short one about the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen it.
The short one?
Yeah, I've seen the short one.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe you
can't, that's what I said, maybe you put that one, because you can't dispute DNA. You cannot dispute DNA. I don't care who you are or how holy you think you are. You know,
right?
That goes from those in this family too. You know, and I think I'm gonna email that to my husband. He's not on Facebook, but I'm gonna email him to tell him. Listen to this about the DNA. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might do that one too, because I haven't given up on it. I mean, When it's all said and done, they can't say that they didn't know, that they didn't hear. And that's all I can do is put it out there for them. So that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you gotta do. Oh, wow, time is winding down. The lady just told me 90 seconds. Well, anyway, I enjoyed this show, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk about Pesach. We do have, I think, another show, one more show before. Wait, when are you guys doing Pesach? The first is on what day?
The Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Yes.
How many more days do we have? Okay, this is, maybe... just a few. Well, anyway, with that, you guys, I'll be with you, Robbie. We're going to say goodbye, Shalom, and thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time. Shalom.
Shalom.